All right, welcome back, everyone, to After Hours Let's Talk, the place where we walk into the parts of ourselves that feel too heavy to carry alone. Tonight, we're talking about something real, something raw, something that far too many people experience in silence. Surviving suicidal thoughts and feelings. And we're not walking into that darkness alone tonight. We have a powerful, courageous, soul-centered special guest with us, Lindsay Stato. Mental health advocate, survivor, and someone who has walked through the thickness of the night and lived to tell the story. So I'm your host, Shorty Farrell, and we want to welcome Lindsay in and thank you for being here in this conversation. So you guys grab a seat, grab something to drink, and let's dive deep into this conversation. But first, we're going to head into our what's on your mind tonight. And a listener wrote in and said, I've been smiling for everyone, but inside I feel like I'm disappearing. I'm tired. I'm overwhelmed. I'm scared of my own thoughts. Sometimes I don't want to die. I just don't know how to keep living like this. And to our listener, I think we all can relate to that. We get to a point in our lives where we feel like we just can't go on. There's nothing more that we can do. We've given it our all and things just keep falling apart or things are just not going right or we feel unseen, not listened to, and feel like we're not wanted here anymore. And I can say I've been in that place in my life before, and I just wanted to give up. You know, it's like, what's the point? There's absolutely no point. Things are just going to continue to keep piling on me, keep failing. I'm never going to get anywhere. And I'm going to continue to be hurt and looked at and used. I felt used. I felt abused. I felt so many things. And I was just like, you know what? It's just, I quit. That's how I felt. Like, I just freaking quit. I can't do this anymore. And, I stepped out into traffic. I just walked out there. I didn't care. I had someone grab me really quick, pull me back. So there was this truck coming. I just broke down and I started crying. And I was like, you know what? They had to remind me that I have plenty of things here that I still am useful for. I have children. I have to be here for my kids. So what I can say to you is you have to look at the things that you have to look for. So I know it's hard to give up, but every day, think about all the things that you're grateful for, that you're happy to have, things that you look forward to doing, and people that you know need you here. And that's what I do. I have to look into myself. I say my kids need me here. My kids love me no matter what I go through, no matter what I'm doing. I can feel like I'm being the worst parent ever. But they love me. They show me unconditional love. And they're the ones that I have to push forward for. Lindsay, do you have any thoughts?
You know, listening to this submission really takes me back to when I was having my suicidal ideation. I felt like I didn't belong. I felt like I was out of place in my own body, in my own house, with my own family. I would sit in a room with family, they're all talking, but I felt invisible. The marriage I was in was crumbling, and after the divorce, the first relationship that I rushed into was just as bad or worse than the marriage. And so I really did feel like I didn't want to be here anymore. I didn't care. I didn't care about my life. I didn't care about my things. I thought my kids would be better off without me. And I did the same thing that you did. I stepped out. It was in the middle of the night. Went walking out onto the highway in hopes that a truck would come along. Thankfully, it didn't. But you know, I feel like when things like this come up inside of you, you have to, well, what I did, I made a list of what I had to live for. My kids were at the very top of the list. And, you know, I have pets that I absolutely adore. They were on the list. My best friend was on the list. And if you aren't comfortable talking with someone like a therapist, you know, talk with someone at your church, at your, you know, if there's a local YMCA or, you know, something like that, because there's always someone out there who will listen. And there's always someone out there who's feeling the same exact way you are. And there's also 988. You can call or text 988. You don't have to be having suicidal ideations. You can be having a mental breakdown and you can still call them or text them. And they're always there. And I wish that when I was having my issues, that it was that easy to get a hold of someone who would listen. So I would just urge that listener to reach out to someone, whether it be 988 or, like I said, a church, or gosh, you can even find me on one of the social media platforms, and I would listen as well. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a therapist, but I've been there and I understand exactly where you're at.
Thank you for that, Lindsay. Well, let's give you a problem welcome. Welcome into the After Hour Lounge today. I'm so happy to have you here. I know this conversation is going to get a little deep and it's going to be a little challenging for a lot of us, for both of us and our listeners, but I definitely want to let people know that, you know, we're here. We all struggle. We all struggle and go through a lot of things. And we all, I think, get to a point at some point where we're just like, you know what, I'm just over it. And I'm done. Especially in today's world, the world is going so hard and it's so treacherous out here. And I want to give people a peace of mind and let them know that there's very positive and healthy ways that we can get through these things and these feelings. So Lindsay, please introduce yourself to the people, let them know who you are, and let's talk about your story.
Okay. I'm Lindsay Stottle. I'm a farmer's wife. We own and run, operate daily, 4 family businesses, all in the agriculture field. We have 4 kids, and they all work with us every day in some aspect. We've got 3 grandkids who we get to see pretty much every day. We have 13 employees, and they have turned into our family. And I absolutely love being a farmer's wife. I never thought that I would enjoy that. But outside of that, I'm also an award-winning author. Actually, one of my books that I'm a collaborator on hit number 5 on the Amazon bestseller today, not even 36 hours after its release. So I'm very, very excited about that.
Yay.
And outside of being an author, I have been on multiple podcasts. I've done some speaking engagements, and I am using my second chance at life to help others who feel like their first chance is over.
Thank you. Well, first of all, congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
Awesome. Trying to be like you one day.
I never thought that I'd have my story, my life in a book, but now that I do, it's crazy how much things have changed in the last year and a half before it all even started for me. So
nice. Well, congratulations. I'm happy for you. It's good to hear.
Thank you.
So this book, this is your life story. So I would like to get into that. You've gone through a lot of things in your life, and you've accomplished a lot as well throughout those troubles that you've gone through. So I'd love to talk about that.
So okay.
Let's start off with let's just start at the beginning. What happened to get you to that vulnerable place?
My father passed away in January of 2014, and I was very close to him. And at that time, I was married, I had two kids, and on the outside, everybody would see that I had a husband, a house, a family, a career, and they would think that, you know, or they'd see this and think that I was very successful, but I knew that inside I was not where I wanted to be. Yes, I wanted the family, I wanted the career, I wanted the husband, but I felt out of place in the life that I was living. And things just really started to go downhill after that. I started to withdraw. I started to joke about, oh, well, what if I wasn't here anymore? You know, just trying to see what kind of reactions I would get from people. And see, I'm the third oldest of nine, and so I've got a huge family, lots of nieces and nephews, lots of aunts and uncles, but even in my family setting, and like I said during the submission, I would sit in a room and feel invisible and feel out of place in my own family. And it wasn't until the divorce papers were signed in August of 2016, where I really started to decline fast. I was overnight a single mother, trying to pay the bills on my own, which I didn't have to do that before. You know, for 12 years I was married and thought everything was okay. But the bills started stacking up faster and faster. And I lost hope. I lost my sense of self. And I started lying and cheating and stealing and really doing anything and everything I could do just to keep afloat. And during that time, between August of 16 and September of 17, I was seeing two men on and off throughout that year. One of them turned into my abuser in every way possible. And his daughter also was physically abusive to me and to one of my kids. But every time I wondered, Why am I in this place? Why am I here again? Because my marriage, it wasn't physically abusive, but it was mentally and emotionally. And today, he's an amazing father. We get along so much better now, unmarried, as than we ever did married. So, you know, I don't want anybody to think that he's a bad guy, because he's not. We just weren't the right fit for each other.
Right.
But this man that I was seeing, he just really was making everything my fault. You know, if you wouldn't be so emotional, if you wouldn't, you know, stay out so late with your friends, if you know, all those kind of things.
Right.
And the other man that I was seeing, he was my best friend. I was able to tell him everything, but I was also lying to him. I would tell him that I was going out with my girlfriends and I'd really go out and see that other man, the one that was abusive, because I didn't think I deserved any better.
Right.
on September 24th of 2017. I woke up that morning and the first thing that came to my mind was not want to die. The first thing that came to my mind was I need to get out of this abusive relationship. So I got a hold of my best friend and live in the country. So what do you do when you live in the country? You drive gravel roads, you sing to music, you drink beer, you know, that's what we do out here in the country. And so that's what we did. We just started driving around and having a big time, but it was also very deep. And one of his sons saw that we were together and he lost it. You know, he didn't understand why his dad was, you know, being seen with me, going, you know, riding around with me. And so I got to the point, and this is where things get fuzzy for me, because I remember coming up on this young gentleman, who's now one of my bonus sons. So love him to death now, but back then, you know, he didn't care for me, right. Which is understandable because of the trauma that I was putting his father through. But my best friend and I, we started to fight, and I told him to take me back to my car. I wanted to go home. And the next thing I know, I remember the cab light in his truck coming on because it was pitch black outside. So the light was very bright. And I remember screaming. And then after that, I don't remember anything until I woke up in the hospital 24 hours later after going through 2 surgeries. And when I opened my eyes, the first thing that came to my mind was, why didn't it work? The second thing that came to my mind was my kids, because they almost had to live the rest of their life without a mother and not knowing why, because I didn't leave a suicide note. Mm-hmm. And then the first face that I saw was my mom's. And she was a mess. She had already lost one kid. She had a stillborn baby in 1990. So she already lost one child, and here she almost lost the second one. And it would have been my fault. And of course, I lied about what happened and why I got to that position. I tried to make my best friend out that it was his fault, that I wasn't supposed to be with him, that, you know, he wouldn't take me back to my car, you know, the lying again. Because I didn't want them to know what really happened or what was really going on. And through all of this, they had to shave my head. Because when I landed with such force and on my face that my skin ripped away from my scalp on my forehead. So they had to shave my head to fix my head. And what also happened was with that force, my neck turned so hard that my nerves were pulled and torn out of my spinal column. And so I couldn't figure out, laying there in that hospital bed, why my left arm wasn't moving.
Right.
But it's because my nerves were torn out. The doctors told me that I did die for a moment, and then I came back, and that I was suffering from what's called left post-traumatic brachial plexopathy, or it's also referred to a brachial plexus injury. The nerves C7, C8, and T1 were torn from my spine, from my spinal column. And when something like that happens, there's no fixing it. You can't just repair those nerves.
Right.
They can do surgery to lay a pathway for new, you know, muscle, or, you know, they remove muscle from the back of both my legs and nerves and open my arm up. They rerouted things, and I have movement in my arm now, but my shoulder will forever be out of socket. I have nothing. I have no muscle tone anymore to keep my shoulder in place. My hand is a claw and will always be, so I can't use it. And I've got nerve pain. Outrageous nerve pain that feels like electric fire going through my arm.
Yeah.
And I never get a break from it. It is all day, every day, every single second of every single day. I live with my decision.
Right.
I see it on my face when I look in the mirror, but I feel it every day. And once I realized how much pain I was in, I realized that, number one, I was still alive. I'm feeling pain because I'm still alive. But then number two was that I was going to use that pain to turn it into purpose. So after I left the hospital, I was on a week-long hospital stay on suicide watch. I committed myself to a mental health facility because I knew I needed help and I knew I couldn't do it on my own. And in there, there's nothing glamorous about healing in a psych ward. It's locked doors behind you. It's shuffling down the hall. You can hear someone shuffling down the hall in their slippers. It's a schedule, medication, meals, group therapy, individual therapy. A lot of what you see in movies and TV shows is in fact true. I was there. I saw it all. I lived it all. But I also heard stories from others who sounded different on the surface, but underneath it was the same as me. And
right.
That's another time that I realized that I wasn't alone. And that there's no reason for me to hide from what I had done. I knew it was going to be a long road to recovery, and actually there's no recovering from the injury that I have. It's been over 8 years, and what I have is because I've gone through multiple surgeries and intense physical therapy. But that's not the only place on my body that was broken that night. My brain was very sick. I was mentally sick. And so I started some intense therapy. I found a very, very amazing psychiatrist. And if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have been able to get past what I did and live with myself. I did lose custody of my kids during that time, but in hindsight, it was probably the best because I was mentally not able to care for my, I mean, physically, I wasn't able to care for myself. So I was definitely not mentally able to care for two kids.
Right.
You know, I can't put my hands behind my back and clasp or unclasp my bra. I can't zip my pants and button my pants because I've got one hand. So I had to learn how to navigate life with one hand. And it was a struggle. It was a struggle.
Right.
But someone who never left my side during all of this, even after watching me, witnessing me jumping from his truck, was my best friend. He came and visited me in the mental hospital. And he told me that he did not know if I had lived or died for 2 days. And he also told me that he was afraid of how he was going to live the rest of his life without me. And that's when I realized that this man really, really does care for me.
Okay.
And so he, after leaving the mental hospital, it was a week-long stay there. I allowed him to start helping me navigate my life, my new life. Because the old Lindsay died that night and the new Lindsay was born. I had to learn how to navigate my life with one hand. I had to learn how to navigate my life as a suicide survivor. You know, suicide's a scary word, but it's not a bad word. Not at all a bad word, and it needs to be talked about as openly and honestly as you talk to your doctor if you have a flu or if you break your leg. You're not just going to tell someone who broke their leg to walk it off.
Right.
You know, so why are we telling people that are going through or dealing with mental illness to just get over it? You know, it's not that easy. Yeah, and so. Yeah, it's not. And again, there's nothing glamorous about trying to get through something like that, because you're having, when you're going to therapy and you're having to expose yourself for everything that you've done wrong, and you have to be honest or else psychiatric therapy won't work.
Right.
So I attribute a lot of my success on my therapist because she helped me immensely. My best friend, who is now my husband, helped me immensely. And I'm going in for one final attempt. A very, very major surgery at the end of the year, actually December 31st. This will be my 9th surgery. And it'll be the last attempt at trying to decrease or potentially get rid of the nerve pain. And if it doesn't work, then there won't be anything else to try because they're going to go in and they're going to cauterize those nerves. So it's going to kill them. And 10 years down the road, if there's some huge breakthrough that can help injuries like what I have, well, I won't be able to benefit from it because the nerves will be dead.
Right.
So I'm manifesting, you know, good vibes for that, right, for that day. You know, I never, for years, it's been September 24th of 2017. It's been a little over 8 years. And for about 6 of those years, I didn't talk about what I had gone through with anybody but my husband and my therapist. Well, one, my family disowned me because it brought shame upon the family. So I have my mother two of my nieces and one of my aunts who have not disowned me. But that's okay because, you know, the saying really is true that family's not blood. That's the family strange. The family that I have now is my husband's family, my in-laws, and my employees. And they accept me for me. They accept me, flaws and all, mistakes and all. And they know that I'm not the same person today that I was back then. You know, I've changed. Mentally, I've changed. Of course, physically, I've changed. But, you know, we don't joke about what happened, but we joke about my injury. Well, just use your other arm. You know, they're always telling me, oh, just use that left hand. Maybe it'll help you. Use your left arm. Maybe it'll help you, you know. And things like that we joke about. I was part of a group meeting. It's kind of a group therapy session a week ago. And one of the questions that I was asked that we were all asked was to give a fun fact about ourselves. And I was sitting there, I was listening to everybody else, and I'm like, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? And this is a virtual meeting, and my daughter's sitting in the same office, because my daughter and I run the office for our four businesses. And I said, Cassidy, what is a fun fact about me? And she just stopped and she says, well, she says, you can throw a mean left hook. And you know, that's what I used. That's what I told them. And when I told them, I mean, most of the people in the group already know my situation or know that right. I've got this injury, that I really have I've got movement, but very little. So, of course, when I said it, I stood up. And I proved it. I, you know, did this whole trying to punch. Oh, my goodness. It was the best laugh I've had in quite some time. So, you know, I've really started to own my story. Right. I've really started to come out of my shell. And I mean, there's no point in me sitting here and telling you my story if I'm going to hide things, because if I had hidden something from you doing this interview, that one thing may have been the thing that helped the anonymous submission listener, right. You know? And so anytime I'm talking with anybody, if it's virtually, if it's in person, if it's over the phone, whatever, I'm an open book. With the exception of the 24 hours that I do not remember, and there's a reason why I don't remember it. So I've not asked my daughter or my husband to fill me in on that 24 hours. My brain has blocked it out. Trauma has blocked it out for a reason. But other than that, I am 100% open book. And if I can help just one person who is listening and thinking, oh my goodness, she is saying the exact thing that I'm thinking right now, then, you know, I will be satisfied. Because we lose far too many people every day to one terrible decision. And I mean, everybody's one terrible decision away from not being here. And I don't want anybody to feel like they have to make a life and death choice like that to get through anything that's going on with them. So that's why I'm 100% honest. That's why I come on podcasts. That's why I've started writing these, being published in these collaboration books and doing summit speeches, because there's someone out there who might be listening in their car right now and thinking, I don't want to be here anymore. But because they're listening to this podcast, maybe they're thinking, if she can get through it, I can get through it too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I know that was a lot. That's a lot to unpack.
Yes, it is. And it's okay, though. We could take a deep breath because, you know, I really appreciate listening and you sharing and being open and vulnerable with everyone, because, you know, a lot of times we really don't get through and progress and heal ourselves because we are so scared of what people are going to think and what people are going to say. And we hide and we hold that in, and it's not helpful to us, and it's really a hindrance. So I want our listeners to understand that you guys, you have to, no matter what you're going through, you find someone that you can trust. You find someone that you are able to talk to without judgment, without fear, without feeling like you're exposing yourself to be hurt. Because I feel like that's how I felt, you know. When I talk to people, I choose and pick who I talk to, because not everybody is there to help you. Not everybody's there to help you be positive, stay calm, think through things, work through things. So finding the help that you need. I know it's hard. A lot of people don't want to go through therapy. Like, I went through a couple of therapists before I found one that really worked with me and fit me. And different types of treatments that we're going through, because I've gone through a lot of trauma in my life. I've gone through a lot of hurt and I've gone through a lot of pain. And I just started realizing now that there's things that I can't even remember, very significant details in my life that I'm like, now that I'm thinking about it, I have no clue what happened. And I'm like, something must have happened too, where I'm just blocking it out and I can't remember, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah. Being able to sit down and talk to somebody about how I'm feeling, because life gets very overwhelming. And whether we like to admit it or not, I know a lot of us don't, you know, we're okay. And we're really not. And you have to know when to say that you're not okay. And that's okay. It's okay to not be okay.
That's right.
You know, I don't want you guys to sit in that and think like, I have to keep pushing. I can't let nobody know what I'm going through, because that's what's going to break you.
Yes.
That's what's going to break you. Find your safe place, your safe person, and talk about it. Get it out. I know it sounds very cliche, but just being able to talk about the things that are on your heart, on your mind, that's bothering you, it does a lot. It lifts a lot off of you to be able to get it out, because it feels like you can breathe again. I know I felt that way. I don't know about you, Lindsay, but I felt like once I was able to just tell it all, I've been able to get this off my chest. I'm like, finally.
Yes.
And no 100%. One's judging. No one's judging me. No one's telling me I'm a bad person. No one's saying that I should do this, or I don't know why you're doing that, or you know, it's just listening and letting me get what I need to get out. And then giving me positive feedback, you guys. Find someone that's going to be positive in your life. Being able to cope and deal with stressful situations. I know we find it very easy to go the negative route, because those things are so easy to come by. It's so easy to find something bad to do.
Yes.
And it's very hard, I think, for us to find something positive. So if you know things that help relax you, help calm you, do those things in those moments. Remind yourself, okay, it's really not as bad as I'm thinking it is. And even if it is as bad as you think that it is, think about all of the things that you need or that you love in life. whether it be your children, your family, your friends, your animals, you know, some of us have fur babies, some of us have aqua babies and all of that. You know, some of us really love our pets.
Yes.
So think about those things. Think about those moments in life that make you happy, the things that you will miss if you aren't here anymore. You know, things that you will miss out on and miss doing and enjoying. And then sit down, journal, talk about it. There are a lot of helplines out there. There's the suicide helpline. There's mental health health lines that you can call, emergency lines that you can call if you are having a moment right now and you need to talk to somebody right now because you don't know what you will do. There's so many places that you can seek help. And people will be there to help you. If you have no one, I will leave those numbers and contact information for all of the hotlines that you guys can reach out for support, for help when you need it. I know that we like to shy away from talking about suicide and mental health and things like that because it's too cliche. But in the society that we live in today, it is running rampant. And it's not going to get any better if we keep running from it. We have to sit down and we have to face it. And we have to talk about it. And we have to help each other learn how to work through these things and get through these things in a positive and a healthy way so that when we encounter these feelings, we don't feel bad. We don't feel embarrassed. Because I know a lot of times it's like, you know, you feel embarrassed about what it is that you're feeling or you're going through. And you shy away from people because you don't want to be looked at a certain way. But it's okay. Right. It's okay. Nobody's perfect. I don't care if you're looking at a person that has, you feel like has everything together in their life. They are going through things. That's what mm-hmm. you see and that's what they want you to see. But you have no idea what's happening behind closed doors in their home. You have no idea what their life is like when you're not in their presence. So exactly. Never forget that. Everybody has problems. Everyone has issues. Even the most put together person is going through something.
Yes. So,
we are going to go into our quote of the night here. Our quote of the night tonight, you guys, is you do not have to end. You just have to rest. If you take nothing from that tonight, just know that you don't have to stop. You don't have to end it. But you do need to take a break, step back, reevaluate, and understand what it is that you're going through and what it is that you need to get through it. We all have to stop and pump our brakes sometimes because it's so overwhelming. Life is overwhelming. Just day to day is overwhelming. So we have to learn how to take breaks. We have to learn how to stop and rest ourselves because we overwork ourselves and we exhaust ourselves to the point of no return. So take a break. Relax. It's not over. It's not the end. You are here. You are wonderful. You are beautiful. And someone loves you every single day. Remember that. Whether you think someone loves you or not, whether you think you're loved, there is someone out there that loves you and wants you here and needs you here and wants the absolute best for you. So what I would advise everyone is to take a moment, sit down and think about the people that you know in your life care about you. Actually love you. Think about it. That's a hard thing to do because you have to be able to separate and know who is really there for you because it's usually the ones that you think isn't. It's usually the ones that you feel like don't care about you. So, and then embrace them. Bring them in. Let them help you. Let them love you. Lindsay, do you have any final thoughts for us today?
Well, I want to leave you with something that I've been saying at the end of most of the shows. I've actually got this put on the back of my car and on t-shirts. So it's kind of become my little tagline, I guess. You are enough. No more proving, no more pretending, just unapologetically you.
Yes, absolutely. Lindsay, I want to thank you for your story, for your courage, for being here, you know, to share this story with us. I'm so grateful that you were able to make it through everything that you've gone through. Being able to laugh and poke fun at yourself, that is a true sign of healing, because, you know, if we can't laugh at ourselves and make fun of ourselves, this is, what are we here for, you know? I love that for you, you know, and I love that, as you said earlier, you know, family is, it's not always blood. It's who you make it to be. The people that you bring into your world become your family sometimes. They don't have to be your bloodline at all. So there for you, who shows up for you time and time again. So being able to embrace your story, talk about it, and share it with everyone here. I hope and I pray that you guys have listened to this. If you're thinking about anything like this, just know that you're not alone. Listen to her story. Even though she may be going through some long-lasting consequences, but she's here. And I think it was very symbolic, even though that old person died that night, as you said, and this new person was born. So in a sense, you were successful in your
attempt. I also failed.
And you were successful because that person needed to go away.
Exactly.
And
being a failure has never felt so good in my life.
Yes. But see, as I said, I don't say it's just failure. You succeeded because you may felt like you needed to leave out of here completely, but no, that version of you needed to go.
Correct.
So it was a success because you are now a new person. With a new way of thinking.
Yes, absolutely.
So you guys, make sure that you look into the episode notes. Listen to this whenever you need some encouragement, some reminders. We are here. You are loved. You are wanted. And you deserve to be here. You're enough, no matter what you're going through. Everything that is happening is for, sometimes we feel like it's not for our benefit, but we go through things so that we can be stronger and that we can learn and we can push forward. And maybe whatever's coming next in our life, we need to learn how to deal with certain things before we can move on. So take a moment, you guys, take a deep breath, relax. Step back and rest and tell yourself, I'm here, I'm enough, I'm loved, and I want it. Until next time, you guys, thank you. And remember that the night, it always has something to say. And we'll see you guys next time.